Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Neil saying, "Don't let the devil ride." We're going to play him a little later on. But tonight, crossing over with our ancestors, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. And it's very busy out there in the spirit realm. And as I get in the spirit realm, do a little water. Ashe, 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 Ashe. Ashe, Ashe. I invoke the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say this tonight. There's so many spirits. The Bible's a try the spirit by the spirit. See, is that the right spirit? And I want to tell, there's so much evil out there, so much negativity. I want to start with 911. That's when the 911, when the plane hit the tower. And those people that was killed, and they're still talking about it. And I want to say this. The 20 years they went over to Afghanistan, spent $6 trillion, and they still got people over there. That was, and now you want to know, how did those guys learn to fly planes? Who let them fly planes? Who gave them the license? The Saudi prince did that, but they don't want to say that. All the stuff about 911 is under wraps. They got it where they don't want to let people see it, but it's going to be opened up. But I went into the spirit realm. There's no way that a plane can run into a building and the building just melt down. Diesel don't burn that fast. I mean, it just melted. It's something else was on that. And that 911, the truth have never been told about that. The truth never been told about Bin Laden. You know, Bush know where he was at. He didn't have to get Obama to know. We had 8 years of Bush, 8 years of Obama, 2 years of Trump, 20 years over there, and people, private contractors, was getting like $50,000 to $100,000 a week for working over there. If you're going over there, you picking up garbage and you getting $50,000 a month just being over there, maybe $100,000 a month. Plus teaching, you had people come from America to teach them folks. Now them folks have been taught; they want to come back to America, and you know, we know. American lie, because they lied to us, 40 acres and a mule. We ain't got the 40 acres and a mule yet, so we know they would lie. They lied to our ancestors, okay? They said, well, and they lied, and we ain't got the 40 acres and a mule, and then reparation came. They gave everybody money to build their neighborhood, their country. Blacks ain't got a check. When white folks came over from Europe, they gave them money. They gave them land. We was already here. They didn't do that to us. The reason I'm saying that, because I'm going back to the ancestors. Ashe, to our ancestors. So you got to see what happened with our ancestors. I want to tell you, Judy, you called me. Judy, Ashe, I pick up good energy from your mother. And she's in the spirit realm. But she said you need to move where you at. And she said you need to move from where you at. That's what I got from her. I say. 9571, the spirit of your ancestors saying that you got to go to another level. 3398, your mother and your father came together. And when they come to me in the spirit, they told me to tell you, you done did all you can do. Because if they don't get it together this time, they won't be here. I'm just letting you know. When you did what you did, read the scripture. This is a scripture. I want to get this scripture out. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. After that's been read, God's going to do the rest. And Brother Neil was said, don't let the devil ride. I'm picking up a loss of energy tonight. Linda, Pearl, Linda's spirit come to say that you did the best you can do, but she said it was on her. And her mother told her, Linda, get somewhere and sit down, or you could have did better. You should have listened to Pearl. I left Pearl in charge. I say. And she told me, Pearl, because she left you in charge, she said that they didn't, a lot of them didn't listen to you. And that's the problem, okay? And it was a lot going on. But Linda apologizing to Mary, you, and apologizing. So she's sorry that at the last end, she made some terrible mistakes. And she said, now she see, I say. But she want you to know and Mary to know and Pearl to know that y'all was there for her. And your mother said, I had came to tell you that somebody was coming. I told Bishop, don't tell you, Ashe. I'm feeling good energy tonight, Ashe. On the 23rd, this month is the full moon. Lots going on. I'm praying tonight for those that lost a divine law of God. I want you to read this. The divine law of God. Exodus 20, verse 3 through 17. Now, if you want the divine law of God, I'll send it to you. But you got to write me or call me and say, Bishop, send me divine law of God. I'll send it to you. Put it on your wall. And that'll work. If you got a need, you plant a seed. Tonight is crossing with our ancestors. Our ancestors got a lot to say tonight to some of you. You won't obey scientists. And you don't obey what God said. But Lazarus was dead, and they said, Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, Lazarus, tell me where he at, and said, come forth. And I'm going to give you some scripture to read tonight. St. Luke 7, verse 11 and 17. Lazarus, St. John 11, verse 1 to 44. I want to tell us about Lazarus. Lazarus had died. That was Jesus' best friend. Jesus was somewhere preaching or doing what he do. And Martha and Mary said, if you hadn't been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus then argued and said, show me where he at. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Raphael is the healing angel. Gabriel is the angel of resurrection. Michael is the angel that fight evil. So I know Michael was there, and I know Gabriel was there, because Gabriel brought him back after the demand that Jesus demanded him to come. See, Jesus could have said, everybody in the grave, get up. He had been dead for 3 days. And sometimes things you think are impossible for God is impossible for man. It's just right for God to show you what you can do. We're dealing with a lot of witchcraft and evil, Ashe. Our ancestors said that loss of the murders is among us. Women's killing babies and said it's all right. Women's going with women and said it's all right. Men's going with men and said it's a divine law. And I want you to get the divine law of God, where you can have the divine law. Because I want to tell you tonight, as I cross over, Ashe, I'm crossing over tonight with you, Joe. I'm crossing over with you, Joe. As I cross over with you, I want to let you know that your mother come to me and to tell you that everything's going to be all right. It's one death in your family that's coming. And she said it's long overdue. And Ashe. She wants to read Psalms 93 for a breakthrough for you. As I cross over tonight, Ashe, I'm picking up the ancestors. The ancestors are coming to me tonight. And the ancestors are talking to me tonight about some of the stuff that's going on in the world. In the world, around the world. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 43. Take these scriptures down. Pearl, I wanna know, do you wanna ask the question, Ashe? if anybody got a question of somebody in Georgia, I want to tell you, I ain't going to call your name, 3390, 3393, you know who he is. Your father and mother came to me. I was in meditation. They said, for you not to worry, because them people they living on the edge, okay? And your mother was very angry, but your father was very calm, his arm folded. Said, Bishop, let my son know that it's all right. He do what he do. You can lead a horse to the water. You can't make him drink. If he don't get his act together this time next year, he won't be in this world. Tell you, well, you don't get upset. Your parents have already come in the spirit. They're very pleased with you and your family. And your mother come very pleased. And okay. And I want to tell you that all is well. Thank you. A bit with that. I say. Okay, Janice, I see you. What you want to ask? Janice, your mother said the land is down in Mississippi. And let me see. Give me where the land at. She said the land is in Olive Branch, a cousin of about 95. You need to get down there and see her before she cross over, where she can tell you where the land at. That's what she come to tell you, I say. I'm crossing over tonight with the ancestors. Maybe you got some, okay. 30. I see your hand up. What you want to ask? Yes, your mother is pleased with you, but she upset with you because of that abortion you got. Now, you didn't tell nobody, but she's saying she was upset with that. And she got the baby. The baby's a baby boy. He's in the spirit with her. But she said you have to repent for that. That's why you can't rest. You haven't repented. You have to repent for that. That's what she said. You have to repent for that. That's 30-30. Now, I see 33. I see your hand up. 33-93. Let me see what you want to ask. 33-33, your hands up. What you want to ask? Your mother and father came in the spirit realm. They told me to tell you that they've been fighting in the spirit for some things around you. You're going to be all right. But they're concerned about your brother changing his whole lifestyle. I've seen your hand up. Now, if you got a question, just press 1 on the phone, it'll come up. Oh, I see oh 0598. Press 1 if you got a question to ask. I want to tell you, your mother said, stop worrying and things are going to be all right. And she said, you'll get to move this year. And she said that you just have to keep looking to get what you want, okay? Bertha said, I'm getting a message from Bertha. Bertha said, all is well. And right now, Linda's being taught what she needs to do. And Linda can stop crying. And they told her to stop crying because Fair say it's her fault, like it was my fault. Okay? But she wants you to know that they're in the spirit realm. Ashe. And in the spirit realm, they're working in the spirit realm for things to go forward for you. I wanted to, Sister Kim, your uncle is talking to your mother, saying don't let nothing upset his mother and upset your mother. Let all that family stuff go by. Just let it go by because it ain't going to work. He said, just let it go because it's all going to turn around. Ashe. That's what he said with that. Thank you, kind spirit. I want to say this tonight. 9-1-1, many people were killed in the storm that happened. St. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. All the stuff God will give you. 9-1-1 was evil done and was did in high places. The murder is among us, the ancestors said. And say you need the divine law of God. God divine law. You need God divine law tonight in order to get some things that you need. Now, God divine law. Now I want you to get God divine law. It'll work for you. The ancestor, I'm gonna tell you this. The ancestor said, in the Midwest this year, that's going to be a lot of snow and blizzards in the Midwest. And there things going to change, shape. Pamela, okay, I got you, Pamela. I see. Pamela, your grandmother come to me, Carrie come to me, and Carrie said, that situation you in, you need to leave it, you need to get out of it because it's not healthy for you and not healthy for your health, body, mind, soul, spirit. So she said, you need to get out of that, Ashe. And she told me to tell you, it's something she told me to tell you and told me to tell you personally when you called me. I'll give it to you. Now, the Gibson sisters, your father came to me and he very pleased that he could make contact with y'all. And he said he want y'all to stay together and work some things out, that he apologized that he didn't know what was going on. But he apologized to you all. So he's very pleased with where you at in life, and he's very pleased with what you're doing. And he told me to tell both of you, Ashe. And he's laughing and smiling. He said, Bishop, they don't believe you're making contact with me. But I want you to tell them something personally. Don't tell them over the air. So when you call me, Sheena, when you call me, Tanya, I'm going to tell you something that he told me to tell you personally and tell her personally. Ashe. Jerry, Ashe. Sam, all is well, Sam. There's a new position. I guess this is your grandfather. There's a new position coming up for you, and he wants you to take it. Open up that new door. Okay, thank you. That's this year. Okay. Pam, thank you, Pam. Pam, your mother in the spirit world says don't let stuff upset you. You're going to be all right. She told me to tell you to read 91 number song. Stop letting your kids, Pam, she stop letting your kids worry you because they're getting up to age now and they don't want to listen. Don't you get caught up in that, Ashe. Mother Jackson, Ashe. Jackson is very proud of you, Pastor. She told me to tell you that she's looking over your shoulder. And she said everything going to get in order. And she said, Rose, you know, everything going to be, don't let nothing worry you. and it's going to get like it ought to. Tell my granddaughter she needs to marry that man. That's your daughter, mother Zena said you need to marry her, shall I say. I'm picking up right now, shall I say. Sister Rose, Sister Rose, your mother come to me to say, get out of foolishness and get serious with God. Some things can happen, you down, but you outlive them because they were trying to outlive you. She said that all that the devil throws, he's going to restore back to you. Ashe. And don't forget her because she still come around. Thank you. Francis. Mm-hmm. Have Francis to call me. I got a message for her. Thank you, Cancer. She ain't got over a dream that she keep getting. She ain't got over that to get over that. I want to tell you, Dr. Krishna, there's a lady on a horse, and she's overlooking a body of water, I say. And when she told me about what she see, she was telling me about it's poison. Watch where you eat. Watch what you're around because you got to watch out for poison gas or something. She just told me that. And she bringing a spiritual guide to move some things around. I say. She said, don't go back to a situation you're around. Don't go back. Thank you, kind spirit. I'm looking at, spirit just gave me somebody. I'm looking at 5907. 5907, I'm in the spirit realm. Your father in the spirit realm, he thank you and he apologized. You got a long lifespan, but you got to stop letting things upset you. And he told me to tell you something about George. I don't know what that he's saying. Ashe. Keep your secret to yourself. And here's a man standing in the doorway with his arm folded. He's looking at D, and he's concerned about D being so liberal. And there's some things got to take place to get her in order. I say. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And your father, and I'm talking to 5907, your father said you're doing the right thing when you said you don't want everybody in your home. He said, that's right. I say. Thank you, kind spirit. Father God, we come at this hour. We thank you for the ancestors. We thank you for the spirit realm. We declare healing tonight on this crossover ancestor, Ashe. Brother Dan come in to say everything's all right. I invoke the spirit of Archangel Michael. I invoke the spirit of Raphael. I invoke the spirit of Gabriel. And I move back Abaddon. I put Abaddon. Abaddon is a death angel. And it's a death angel running all over the United States. I'm praying for a young lady from Alabama lost her son because of evil. I say. And I send the spirit of Saint Michael, oh bless you, to go out and bring those people in that's doing this evil. Saint Michael. And as I pick up the spirit realm, there's a big angel around me right now. And he said, Bishop, all them that are murdered and killing, they got a short lifespan. They won't make it because they're doing evil to God's children. Ashe. So I want to say that to you. I'm looking in the spirit realm. 9-1-1, that was evil when that tiber was hit. And I can hear all them people right now, Ashe. I hear all them people and those that died in Vietnam and Korea, those that died in this war, those 11 that was bombed. St. Bishop, they talking to me. I hear all the voices. They come through clear. And they telling me that the evil lie within that Congress, that Republican Democrat, is they are controlled by evil spirits. And the way to make them do right, we have to pray. Ashe. Now, I see another hand up. Ollie Mae. Okay. Ollie Mae, you want to know what Francis said? Ollie Mae Francis said, Ashe, for you to go get your kids and put all your kids in the house with you. And if that man don't want you to do that, your mother said leave. And said if you don't leave, that's going to be the death of you, that man. Ashe. Call me while I can tell you what else she's saying. Ashe. God bless you tonight. This, I'm crossing with the ancestors tonight. This is tonight we cross over with the ancestors. An ancestor telling me that this virus is another virus coming out. The answer is 3 different viruses going to come out, and it's going to kill a lot of people. They can take a shot, don't they? You got to be anointed with God. You got to hook up with God. It's time for you to start partying and begin to pray, Ashe. And it's a scripture I want you to read. That's Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And as you read that scripture, God's going to carry you to another level. It means that you've got to be able to understand it's more than just taking a shot. It's about you being obedient to God and praying. We got to go back to praying. We got to go back where all this stuff is free on TV. You see men kissing men on TV. They are roughing the children. Children being killed because the parents won't stop and say, wait a minute, it don't go this way. We're letting warlocks and witches run out of country. So we have to move from that. We move from that with prayer. Ashe. With prayer. That's how we move away from that.
Some of us who have already begun to break the silence of the night have found that the calling to speak is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must speak with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision, but we must speak. And we must rejoice as well, for in all our history, there has never been such a monumental dissent during a war by the American people. Polls reveal that almost 15 million Americans explicitly oppose the war in Vietnam. Additional millions cannot bring themselves around to support it. And even those millions who do support the war have parted confused and doubt-ridden. This reveals that millions have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Now, of course, one of the difficulties in speaking out today grows out of the fact There are those who are seeking to equate dissent with disloyalty. It's a dark day in our nation. When high-level authorities will seek to use every method to silence dissent, something is happening and people are not going to be silent. The truth must be told. And I say that those who are seeking to make it appear that anyone who opposes the war in Vietnam is a fool or a traitor or an enemy of our soul is a person who has taken a stand against the best in our tradition. Yes, we must stand and we must speak. Over the past 2 years, as I have moved to break the betrayal of my own silences and to speak from the burnings of my own heart, as I have called for radical departures from the destruction of Vietnam, many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my past. At the heart of their concerns, this query has often loomed large and loud. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. So this morning I speak to you on this issue because I am determined to take the gospel seriously. I come this morning to my pulpit to make a passionate plea to my beloved nation. This sermon is not addressed to Hanoi or to the National Liberation Front. It is not addressed to China or to Russia. Nor is it an attempt to overlook the ambiguity of the total situation and the need for a collective solution to the tragedy of Vietnam. Neither is it an attempt to make North Vietnam or the National Liberation Front paragons of virtue, nor to overlook the role they must play in a successful resolution of the problem. This morning, however, I wish not to speak with Hanoi, the National Liberation Front, but rather to my fellow Americans, who bear the greatest responsibility in ending a conflict that has exacted a heavy price on both continents. Now, since I am a preacher by calling, I suppose it is not surprising that I have seven major reasons for bringing Vietnam into the field of my moral vision. There is at the outset a very obvious and almost facile connection between the war in Vietnam and the struggle I and others have been waging in America. A few years ago, there was a shining moment in that struggle. There was a real promise of hope for the poor, both black and white, through the poverty program.
I want to get the language right. Created a law and killed 6 million Jews.
And some of America's playing out of Hitler playbook. Mass murder, the virus going on. People say wear masks, don't wear masks. But I'm saying evil is leaving, you have to leave. This is the Dr. King movement on this Labor Day. Every man need to work. Reason we so far behind, because we black folks, our ancestors, built Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Virginia. We made the South rich. And see what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Black Wall Street was bombed. All that happened. But we have to go a step further. Talk about Vietnam. I was Vietnam in Afghanistan for 20 years. And I want to explain that to you where you might know what happened. 20 years. Bush went there for 8 years. Obama was there for 8 years. And Trump was there for 2 years. So we're talking about 20 years with $6 trillion spent in another country. And we can't get all our guys out of there. And people, $6 trillion could help America get on its feet. $6 trillion. And Biden ain't the cause of it. Biden just inherited the mess. So just like Vietnam was a disgrace. We lost Vietnam. We lost the war in Vietnam. We lost the war in Afghanistan. And private contractors made trillions of dollars. And I want to tell you, in Detroit, Chicago, Ohio, Texas, Minnesota, we're running into the same thing. Here's General Motors, an international company. They ain't got no chips. And they had to shut some of the plants down. And the Republicans don't want for global warming. You see what happened in New Orleans. There's a hurricane on its way to New Orleans right now as I speak. That one coming to Florida as I speak. So back to back, and I said it last year, that you will have a hurricane back to back, storm back to back. Let me help you out. In the Midwest, we're going to have snow blizzard in the Midwest. Boy, y'all ain't listening to me. I prophesy, I'm trying to give you the word. But we're going to hear from Dr. King. In 2021, Afghanistan is out of Vietnam. And 911 was a hoax. They never told the truth. How is a plane going to hit a building and melt the building down? Diesel don't get that hot. It had to be a bomb or something in there. I want to know who helped them get over here. How was they able to fly planes? Who paid for them to go to school and talk by Americans?
Explicitly oppose the war in Vietnam. Additional millions cannot bring themselves around to support it. Even those millions who do support the war have parted, confused and doubt-ridden. This reveals that millions have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Now, of course, one of the difficulties in speaking out today grows out of the fact that there are those who are seeking to equate dissent with disloyalty. It's a dark day in our nation when high-level authorities will seek to use every method to silence dissent. Something is happening and people are not going to be silent. The truth must be told. And I say that those who are seeking to make it appear that anyone who opposes the war in Vietnam is a fool or a traitor or an enemy of our soul is a person who has taken a stand against the best in our tradition. Yes, we must stand and we must speak. Over the past 2 years, as I have moved to break the betrayal of my own silences and to speak from the burnings of my own heart, as I have called for radical departures from the destruction of Vietnam, many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my path. At the heart of their concerns, this query has often loomed large and loud. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. So this morning I speak to you on this issue, because I am determined to take the gospel seriously. I come this morning through my pulpit to make a passionate plea to my beloved nation. This sermon is not addressed to Hanoi or to the National Liberation Front. It is not addressed to China or to Russia. Nor is it an attempt to overlook the ambiguity of the total situation and the need for a collective solution to the tragedy of Vietnam. Neither is it an attempt to make North Vietnam or the National Liberation Front paragons of virtue, nor to overlook the role they must play in a successful resolution of the problem. This morning, however, I wish not to speak with Hanoi, the National Liberation Front, but rather to my fellow Americans who bear the greatest responsibility and ended a conflict that has exacted a heavy price on both continents. Now, since I am a preacher by calling, I suppose it is not surprising that I have seven major reasons for bringing Vietnam into the field of my moral vision. There is at the outset a very obvious and almost facile connection between the war in Vietnam and the struggle I and others have been waging in America. A few years ago, there was a shining moment in that struggle. It seemed as if there was a real promise of hope for the poor, both black and white, through the poverty program. There were experiments, hopes, and new beginnings. Then came the build-up in Vietnam. I watched the program broken as if it was some idle political plaything of a society gone mad on war. I knew that America would never invest the necessary funds or energies in rehabilitation of its poor, so long as adventures like Vietnam continued to draw men and skills and money like some demonic destructive into. You may not know it, and estimated that we spend $500,000 to kill each enemy soldier, while we spend only $53 for each person classified as poor. And much of that $53 goes for salaries to people who are not poor. So I was increasingly compelled to see the war as an enemy of the poor and attack it as such. Perhaps the more dispatched recognition of reality to a place when it became clear to me that the war was doing far more than devastating the hopes of the poor at home. It was sending their sons and their brothers and their husbands to fight and die in extraordinarily high proportion relative to the rest of the population. We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by society, sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Harlem. So we have been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony of watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schoolroom. So we watch them in brutal solidarity, burning the huts of a poor village. We realize that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago or Atlanta. I could not be silent in the face of such cruel manipulation of the poor. My third reason moves to an even deeper level of awareness, for it grows out of my experience in the ghettos of the North over the last 3 years, especially the last three summers. I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men. I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problem. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problems, bring about the changes it wants. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent. Done a lot of applauding over the last few years. They've applauded our soul movement. They've applauded me. America and most of its newspapers applauded me in Montgomery. I stood before thousands of Negroes getting ready to riot when my home was bombed. Said, we can't do it this way. They applauded us in the sit-in movement. We nonviolently decided to sit in at lunch counters. They applauded us on the freedom rides when we accepted blows without retaliation. They praised us in Albany and Birmingham and Selma, Alabama. Oh, the press was so noble in its applause, so noble in its praise when I was saying, be nonviolent toward Bull Connor. When I was saying, be nonviolent toward Jim Clark. There's something strangely inconsistent about a nation and a press that will praise you when you say, be nonviolent toward Jim Clark, but will curse and damn you when you say, be nonviolent toward little brown Vietnamese children. There's something wrong with that press. As if the weight of such a commitment to the life and health of America were not enough, another burden of responsibility was placed upon me. 1964. I cannot forget that the Nobel Peace Prize was not something taking place, but it was a commission. A commission to work harder than I had ever worked before for the brotherhood of man. This is a calling that takes me beyond national allegiances, but even if it were not present, I would yet have to live with the meaning of my commitment to the ministry of Jesus Christ. To me, the relationship of this ministry to the making of peace is so obvious that I sometimes marvel at those who ask me why I'm speaking against the war. Could it be that they do not know that the good news was meant for all men, for communists and capitalists, for their children and ours, for black and white, for revolutionary and conservative? They've forgotten that my ministry is in obedience to the one who loved his enemies so fully that he died for them. What then can I say to the Viet Cong, of the Castro, of the Mayo, as a faithful minister to Jesus Christ? Can I threaten them with death? Or must I not share with them my life? Finally, I must be true to my conviction that I share with all men the calling to be a son of the living God. Beyond the calling of race, the nation, a creed, this vocation of sonship and brotherhood. Because I believe that the Father is deeply concerned, especially for his suffering and helpless and outcast children, I come today to speak for them. And as I ponder the madness of Vietnam and search within myself for ways to understand and respond in compassion, my mind goes constantly to the people of that peninsula. I speak not now of the soldiers of each side, not of the military government in Saigon, but simply of the people who have been under the curse of war for almost three continuous decades now. I think of them too because it is clear to me that there will be no meaningful solution until some attempt is made to know and hear that broken cry. Now let me tell you the truth about it. They must see Americans as strange liberators. Do you realize that the Vietnamese people proclaim their own independence in 1945? After a combined French and Japanese occupation. Incidentally, this was before the Communist Revolution in China. They were led by Ho Chi Minh. This is a little known fact. These people declared themselves independent in 1945. They quoted our Declaration of Independence in that document of freedom. Yet our government refused to recognize. President Truman said they were not ready for independence. So we fell victim as a nation at that time of the same deadly arrogance that has poisoned the international situation for all of these years. France then set out to reconquer its former colony. And they fought 8 long, hard, brutal years trying to reconquer Vietnam. You know who helped France? It was the United States of America. Came to the point that we were meeting more than 80% of the war costs. Even when France started despairing of its reckless action, we did not. in 1954, a conference was called at Geneva. An agreement was reached because France had been defeated at Dien Bien Phu. But even after that, and even after the Geneva Accord, we did not stop. We must face the sad fact that our government sought a real sense to sabotage the Geneva Accord. Well, after the French were defeated, it looked as if independence and land reform would come through the Geneva Agreement. But instead, the United States came and started supporting a man named D. Hill, who turned out to be one of the most ruthless dictators in the history of the world, set out to silence all opposition. People were brutally murdered merely because they raised their voices against the brutal policies of Diem. The peasants watched and cringed as Diem ruthlessly rooted out all opposition. The peasants watched as all this was presided over by United States influence, and then by increasing numbers of United States troops